Now, I used to be, a long time ago, I used to be a playwright. I was on the road to, well, I don't want to get boastful here, but I was quite successful at what I was doing. And I think I'll just leave it there. I won't talk about awards and stuff like that because they're all wood, hay, and stubble now. But I thank God that He opened my eyes, that He led me to the truth of His Word so I wouldn't have to depend on my own self in any way, shape, or form. So when I open this message, you're going to hear a little bit of playwriting, play script. It's only a short section. Okay, I'm on the street, and I meet this fellow, and I say, tell me, sir, do you believe in God? Sir, tell me, do you believe in God? Of course, I think we all believe in God, a God of some sort. There has to be a higher power. Then tell me, sir, do you believe that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? Why not? I'm as good as the next guy. I'm a good provider. I'm a good family man. I pay my taxes. So, does that mean that you fit into God's plan for salvation, sir? Why not? You know, you don't have to be a fanatic about religion. So you believe there is a heaven, sir? Of course. What about hell? Do you believe in hell? Nope. So if you don't make it to heaven, then where do you think you'll go?
Well, eventually we all end up in heaven. We may have to spend a little time in purgatory. But God would never send anybody to hell.
Okay, that's the end of the ad lib. There you have it, folks. Easy as falling off a log. Where is it? So therein is the title of my script tonight. My message, by grace through faith, and nothing else. By grace through faith. My religious beliefs were born and bred in Catholicism. You notice I said religious beliefs. In my 45 years as a Mick, I learned everything I was told to believe, from Sunday school at the nunnery to allowing the body of Christ to dissolve on my tongue without touching my teeth. As a young boy growing up in a small Catholic town in rural Nova Scotia, I learned that everything a priest told me to do or believe, I was not to question him. And that the only way my sins would be forgiven is if I went to confession every week and told Father Priest, what's-his-face, all my deep, dark secrets. Imagine as a boy all the deep, dark secrets a boy would have, huh? It was always the same week after week. My mother made me go, but she never went to church herself. She was a Baptist. My father was a Catholic. He never went to church. But they made me go. I didn't mind too much. I didn't understand. Always the same. Week after week, talking, going to confession. You know, you usually have the same things to say every week. I accuse myself of stealing. I mean, we all stole, I thought. Could be a pencil, or it could be somebody's car. Anyway, cussing, swearing, or kicking the neighbor's dog. So, I was required to say 10 Hail Marys, one act of contrition, three Our Fathers, and a Glory Be if I knew the words. Now, I'm not making fun, as it may seem, but it is kind of humorous in a way. So when you look back and see all those things that were going to send you to hell eventually. A visit after you finish your praying, a visit to the grotto, and a few Hail Marys were added if my sins were, well, real whoppers. And be sure to leave your meager allowance at Mary's feet so the priest could buy himself another box of cigars. And that's not a joke, that's the truth. Now, I invite you to read my personal testimony on my website, and you'll see the full story. If you haven't done it yet, I think you'll find it somewhat moving. You'll find it under resume, the heading resume. Now, as mentioned, I titled my sermon, By Grace Through Faith. By Grace Through Faith. This is not the general mindset of people today. People just figure a quickie prayer. Hey, I'm free. I'm going to heaven. And if the Word of God comes from a guy on the street, well, I mean, who wants to believe that? But if it comes from some high-ranking clergy wearing a white collar or a beanie with a dress to match, then suddenly the words become golden. By grace through faith, both are essential. You can't go home without them. The word I find that is seldom used when given witness to somebody, at least today, is the word faith. Faith. And that's sad because the Bible tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, we can never go to heaven. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, which you're probably all acquainted with, we read, For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, many people today simply take God for granted and go with, His grace is sufficient, and it is. But how would you know if you don't know the Lord? Grace, of course, is the word you must believe in. And to believe in something, we must have what? To believe in something, what must we have? We must have, as I've been saying, we must have faith. Whether you believe it is to believe in the Bible, believe in God, you must have faith. Why is that? Because you can't see God. Faith. This is what my message is actually all about, isn't it? And I'm about to hammer Hebrews 11, as well known as the faith chapter, until I've made my point. And you will understand that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Have you seen God? When I was a Catholic, I thought I did. But I haven't seen Him since. But I believe Him now. So how do you know God exists if you haven't seen Him? By faith? By faith? The elders throughout the Bible obtained a good report. How? By faith. How many people have you heard say, "Well, I hope I'm going to heaven," when you ask them? I hope I'm going to heaven. Yes, the Bible speaks of such a hope. But that's all it is until we add faith. We add faith. You see, God can give us hope, but He can't give us faith. That's something we have to muster up ourselves. Because it's through faith that we get to know God. Hope without faith really is hopeless. Hopeless. You may have heard the familiar song, "Faith, Hope, and Charity." Well, which one's first? Even the songwriter nailed it, faith in what Christ did at Calvary. Faith is the action word. If you want hope, I won't go through all the great examples given in Hebrews 11. As you know, sometimes I preach at the senior's home, and no matter how many times I give out the gospel and afterwards go and speak to them individually before leaving, it seems that when I ask this age-old question, "Do you know if you died today you'd go to heaven?" the response is usually, "Well, I hope so. I hope so." Ooh, that digs right into my heart. Because you feel like you've given a message in vain. When you preached on eternal security, when you preached the gospel and you hear, "Well, I hope," it's almost like they weren't listening. So, God forgive me if I grit my teeth a little, hoping just won't do it. Nobody goes to heaven by hope. Let us take a look at some of the great people of faith in Hebrews 11. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. He did not die. God took him because he pleased God. Now, this is not a contradiction to Hebrews 9:27, which says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." I'll say this and let it be. Only our great judge in glory, can make such an appointment null and void. Three words prompted God to make such a decision. In Enoch's case, the three words were, "He pleased God." Now, if you please God, you're going to heaven, right? Because the only way you can please God is through faith. And faith is to believe in God. So you can't say, "Well, I'm not a nut about religion and stuff like that. I don't go around praying all day, close my eyes when I'm driving." No. Faith is the easiest thing in the world to obtain. All you got to do is, "I believe," and mean it in your heart. But don't say it to me or you. Say it to God. Use the gospel. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. Do you please God? That's a daring question. Do you please God? We all like to think we do. You know, pleasing God isn't just going to church on Sunday morning or Wednesday evening or Thursday in some cases, Sunday night. That's not all there is to it. No, pleasing God actually is to glorify Him. When Jesus was on the earth, He made that very clear abundantly. He was there for one reason, and I refer to the Garden of Gethsemane, when He said to the Father, He said, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Thy will be done." So forth. He was here to glorify God the Father. Everything God the Father sent Him for the purpose of reaching out to the lost, for dying for us, shedding that precious blood, that atoning blood. By praising His holy name to others we meet along the way, by holding fast to the truth and being steadfast in His Word. By faith. Hebrews 11, we move to verse 7. We see, now we all know about Noah, right? If we don't, we're in bad shape. We've come this far. We all know about Noah. However, there is still that group who wonder about the building of the ark. Now, I don't know if that's going to change or not since they built an ark down in the States. I doubt that would mean a lot. It might mean something to the Catholics or some other groups, but the faith you have in God is so real, it's almost mind-boggling. It doesn't depend on proof. It depends on what it says, faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible. And then there's Abraham, the father of faith. Abraham, was he not about to slay Isaac, his son? Because he believed God would show mercy, which He did, by providing a lamb caught in the nearby thicket. Remember what Abraham said when Isaac asked his father, "Where is the sacrifice for the burnt offering?" Those famous words come out of Abraham. God will provide Himself an offering for the sacrifice. And Himself, of course, as we all know, was Jesus Christ. That's the first hint, as far as I know, that we discover that Jesus Christ is going to come into the world. That God is going to send His Son. Who? If you never read any Bible before and you're just reading along from the beginning, you see that? Ooh, what is that? Now, what is faith? Well, as you know, you've heard it said here many times, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Overcomes the world. Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You don't believe me? Go see the movie. No, just kidding. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for but a season. Verse 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith. Faith is exemplified in at least 23 times in chapter 11 alone. Now, what about hope? Well, on its own, hope is dead. I hope I wake up tomorrow morning. Well, say a prayer tonight just in case your hope doesn't let you wake up. Romans 8:24 tells us that hope that is seen is not hope. Good. 1 Corinthians 13:13 tells us about faith, hope, and charity. And the greatest of these is what? Now, I'm not going to say faith. I'm going to say charity, right? You might say, no. How can he change his mind? He said it was faith. Now he's saying it's charity. Okay, hang in there. So what is charity? Charity is the love action brought forth by faith. That's what charity is. The more faith you have in God, then the more charity or love you will show to others. For example, when you help feed and clothe the homeless and the little children, then you perform an act of charity. And charity is love. Brought on by what? By faith in a holy and righteous God. And do not for one moment imagine that you can hope your way to heaven through your charity. People from their dying beds have donated all they have, hoping their generosity, their good works, would get them to heaven. It won't. It won't. Not without faith. Not without believing. Repenting and believing in the Son of God and what took place at Calvary. It won't. Faith outclasses hope at every turn. You can hope for rain to make your crops grow. You can hope for a good catch of fish that your nets will be filled. You can hope for a good grade in your schoolwork. You can hope for the proverbial cows to come home. But without faith, without faith, without God in the picture, that's all you'll ever have. Hope. I hope I'll go to heaven. Where do you get that hope? And if what you hoped for comes about, then who gets the credit? You or God? I hope tomorrow I'll feel better. Now, but you said a prayer before you went to sleep. Because you're a Christian, you believe in God. You woke up the next morning, you felt better. You say, oh boy, I feel good now. I hoped that before I went to bed last night. Okay. Who gets the credit? You or God? If it's hope. I hope I can climb that hill. I hope I get that job. I hope I pass the test. It's the nature of man to take credit for all his gain. It's human nature. Whether it be the weather or little Susie getting over a bout with the flu. Man. Is he ever lucky? Girl, wasn't she some lucky? I say unto you, your luck runs out at the cemetery. It runs out at the cemetery. As we come to the conclusion, allow me to say this. By faith, in the month of October, 1987, a drunken remnant of a man was lifted from the miry clay of a roadside ditch and given a new start on a life that had lost its meaning. By faith, the same man was freed from the tentacles of Catholicism. By faith, the same man was scorned and persecuted by his own family because he cared enough to give them the same saving gospel of Jesus Christ. By faith, the same man, while undergoing multiple afflictions of the flesh, received from God the spiritual and physical stamina necessary to lead a group of would-be Christians on a journey with Christ. By faith, the same man, spiritually grounded multitudes of elderly patients at a high-end nursing home, and was permitted through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit to witness the fruits of his labor. By faith, the same vessel, though afflicted by great physical torment, saw the healing power of a loving God push into remission one cancer after another, until God himself has strengthened me anew and allowed me to go forth into the fields that were white already to harvest. The years have slowly passed for this servant of the Most High, and though afflictions of the flesh still sometimes arise and cause a temporary stay, God has remained faithful to allow me to continue in his service, and thus shall I do until he calls me home. By faith I say to you, praise be to God. Amen.